You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. It is Friday, the 22nd of March, and it's been a very big and tempestuous week for Nottingham Forest Football Club. Let's head straight over to the 1865 news desk and join Jamie Martin to find out the latest.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top five Forest stories from the 1865 news desk. Now, the headline of this week's news: Nottingham Forest have been given a points deduction. After months of speculation as to the future of Nottingham Forest league position due to a potential penalty from the Premier League, it is this week being confirmed that the East Midlands club have been docked 4 points after breaching PSR rules. According to the Premier League, Forest breached profit and sustainability rules by approximately £34.5 million. Forest were allowed to spend £61 million over a three-year rolling period, as they had a year in the Premier League and 2 years in the Championship, meaning their total allowable losses totaled the £61 million mentioned. Forest, however, spent £95.5 million, which was a breach by more than £30 million. Originally, the Premier League wished to dock Forest 8 points, but a successful legal defence reduced that to 6, and further cooperation reduced it even further to 4 points, a significant reduction in points docked, given the amount they had breached by. Forest owner Evangelos Marinakis is understood to be frustrated at the decision and does want an appeal. Others in the club hierarchy are prepared to accept the deduction for what it is. More updates are expected, and Nottingham Forest have until next week to lodge their appeal to the Independent Commission. Now, some injury news for Nottingham Forest. Taiwo Wongye is set to miss 2 to 3 weeks of action, and he will be on the sidelines. It's been a tough season for Taiwo Wongye after some big injuries, one needing surgery, that being a groin issue. But the Nigerian star has now suffered another injury setback, with weeks on the sidelines expected. After returning from a groin injury last month, Taiwo Wongye has struggled with small setbacks and is now facing another. According to Daniel Taylor from The Athletic, the forward had tests which showed initial signs that would suggest he'll miss at least 2 to 3 weeks of football in order for him to recover and be back to full fitness. Another big injury woe for Nottingham Forest there, who also saw Chris Wood leave the field against Luton with an issue, which is yet to be confirmed. And in more PSR-related news, Forest could need to raise a further £15 million plus to avoid another PSR breach, reports say. Now, reports from the Times' Martin Ziegler suggest that Nottingham Forest will have to sell one of their prized assets in order to comply with PSR rules next season as things stand, even though they had already breached in the previous period. In the documents released following Nottingham Forest points deduction, now declassified, information shows that as of current, £12 to £17 million would be lost this season, putting the club in jeopardy and risking another points deduction in the near future, unless they were to sell a star and raise crucial funds. The likes of Murillo, Gibbs White and Dominguez and other stars have been named as those the club could be forced to sell in order to stay in line with profits and sustainability rules in the future. Now, the fourth piece of news on this newsreel: Liverpool have registered an interest in Forest star Murillo. In some perhaps expected news, a top Premier League side, Liverpool, have reportedly registered interest in Nottingham Forest defender Murillo ahead of a huge club restructure in the summer. According to the Daily Mail's chief football writer, Sammy Mockbell, the Merseyside Giants have registered an interest in the Forest centre-back amidst a huge reshuffle over the summer with the departure of Jurgen Klopp. The report states that Liverpool are amongst the clubs with an interest, with previous reports suggesting Atletico Madrid could make a move in the summer, should finances allow it. Unfortunately, impossible to keep a player like Murillo a secret, big European clubs are already tagging on, with Liverpool the latest to join the queue. Forest have an incredibly priced asset on their hands. And finally, new reports say that Atletico Madrid made a huge offer for Brennan Johnson in June, but there was caveats. While on the topic of Atletico Madrid, the declassified documents from the Independent Commission's ruling of Nottingham Forest point deduction states that the Spanish Giants made an approach for then Forest star Brennan Johnson. In a page of the extensive documentation, Brennan Johnson, referred to as Player A, was at the time a Forest player, and Ioannis Ferencsos was the CEO of the club. Atletico Madrid made an offer of £42 million, roughly €50 million, but with that deal depending on Atletico selling a player, the offer was made on the 30th of June, the last day for accounts to be submitted for that PSR period. Forest countered by asking for €62 million, but Atletico did not respond. Talks completely broke down. The papers say that Evangelos Marinakis, the club's owner, then gave the CEO at the time, Ferencsos, an order to sell Johnson, but this was after the accounting period had ended on the June 30th, meaning that any last hope of selling Johnson to stay in line with PSR rules had passed. A rather serious news reel this week. Hopefully some more positive stories next week, though. But that is the latest from the 1865 News Desk. I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on social media via @I'mJamieMartin on Twitter. Updates on Nottingham Forest-related news throughout the week. Take care. Speak to you soon.
Thank you very much, Jamie. You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, with me, Rich Ferraro. And I'm joined once again by the Maradona of the Midlands. And as Jamie said, Maradona, it is quite a serious newsreel. It's been a busy and rather stormy week, really, at the City Ground, hasn't it? And let's start off with that first story. Now, we are going to discuss this in a bit more detail in a special podcast, which we're recording over the weekend. But -4, how do you feel about that?
I thought it was quite a fair result.
When you say fair, do you mean fortunate?
Oh boy, fortunate. I thought it was for the breach we'd done, I thought it was a fair punishment. I thought it is in proportion. I'm not quite sure why the club are so annoyed, because it's clear we've broken the rules. You can argue about whether the rules are fair or not, or whether they should be there. But we went into it with our eyes open, knowing that those are the rules. And from what I understand, any sort of breach of the financial rules is a statutory 3-point deduction. So for us to be only be given a 4-point deduction, which is 1 point over, that doesn't seem that bad, really. I think it gives us a fair chance of beating it on the pitch and avoiding relegation. So I think just take it on the chin and move on.
And again, we are going to discuss this in a bit more detail over the weekend, but a couple of things that strike me. Number one, the club statement. So you think that maybe they're going a bit overboard, but do you think in the bigger picture the club were making some good points about the nature of the rules and regs and how non-established clubs are a bit disadvantaged?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm right in saying these limits were set about 10 years ago. As we all know, inflation in football runs riot every single season. So what this may have seemed like an outrageous amount of money to lose when the rules were set, but now it's not so bad because the transfer fees have increased, wages have increased. The club does have a fair point, especially when you consider that the being in the Championship lowers the amount you can lose. Now, I see there is a good reason for doing that. It's to stop Championship clubs from going bust and spending far too much money to get promoted. But once you are promoted, I think there could be a bit of leeway on that. And the whole argument of it pulling up the ladder and only allowing the established clubs to dominate is, again, a fair one. but I don't know how you get around it. You need some sort of rule to stop the state-owned clubs from just buying every player and just doing what they want, because they've got unlimited wealth with money coming out of the ground, literally coming out of the ground, and they don't know what to do with their money. So it's you've got to find some sort of way of balancing, keeping it a fair competition, but also allowing other clubs to sort of build and get closer to those top six clubs.
And a breaking story after Jamie recorded his update there is that Leicester, apparently, if they get promoted, they're going to face punishment as soon as they get there. So it seems as though the Premier League have decided that this is going to be the hill that they die on, having issued Everton with two breach charges, having issued Forest with the breach. And it seems as though that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, they seem very annoyed by it, the boys down in Leicester, especially. I mean, I'm surprised they are in this situation, because they seem to have sold a big name player every season just to balance the books. And I remember it annoyed Brendan Rodgers, because he couldn't buy anybody and he wanted to build on his FA Cup winning team and go forward and challenge the big clubs for maybe they will try and win the league again. And they just weren't in a position to do that. I mean, they're a team who have a brand new spanking stadium comparatively, with all the facilities where they can generate revenue all the time. And they're sort of 30,000 sell out every week. They've had a best part of a decade of TV money, top flight TV money. And so if they can't make the books balance, it makes you wonder if anybody can.
Well, it could be down to the fact that Brendan Rodgers liked spending money, and apparently a lot of Leicester players are on high wages. So who knows? Okay. And then the last thing just on this topic before we move on, which is that in terms of the actual points deduction, so Everton fans were a little bit up in arms saying, well, Forest breached by way more than Everton did, which got them their 10 points reduced to 6 point deduction before. I think Everton's breach was something like, I can't remember now. Was it something like 19 million and Forest is 34.5 million? And Everton fans unhappy that Forest got a lot less punishment. So it was originally 8 points, reduced to 6 by the mitigating circumstances. But crucially, Forest have also received a 2 point reduction in the deduction on the grounds of cooperating with the inquiry, whereas the Premier League report quite pointedly made the point that Everton had provided misleading information for their previous breach. So, I mean, for all that Forest are grumbling about the rules now, they played it quite well. And maybe we have Nick DeMarco, KC, to thank for that, yeah?
Yeah, maybe. I think they went into the season or the Premier League campaign last year knowing they were going to breach it, and just taking it as accepting it as a risk of doing business, as a cost. At the time, I don't think anybody thought points for deductions were on the table. I think we all thought it was just going to be a fine of some sort. So it was probably a deliberate ploy from the club. And then having realised now that there are points deduction, they probably thought being showing a level of contrition would be the best way to go. It's probably just common sense. You can't really deny that you've broken the rules. So it is just a case of pleading your case and trying to be seen as being helpful as possible. And it just seems like a good strategy. I don't think you need to be a QC to work that one out, though.
Well, okay. If any KCs are listening, then they're very welcome to get in touch with us via social media to let us know their views. Let's move on to the next story. And this one is a little bit worrying, which is Tyro Awoniyi is out for another 2 to 3 weeks at the same time as Chris Wood hobbled off in the last match. And I mean, I will just say that since he came back from his groin injury, Tyro has never looked fit in my eyes. He looks like he's been playing on one leg, don't you think?
Yeah, he looked big. And I think Ty is such a big old unit. It's a lot of stress on his joints when he's running around. I think he could probably benefit from reducing that muscle mass a little bit. And just, it would, I think it would help him in the long term.
And I mean, we don't know how long Chris Wood's out for, but we might be in a situation once again where we've got, I don't know, Divock Origi playing on the wing and Alanga playing as the man off the last shoulder. I'm a little bit, having struck gold with a front four that works in his early games, that's been disrupted, hasn't it? And I worry that Nuno doesn't know how to, you know, the goals have dried up, and I worry that Nuno doesn't know how to get the best out of the Forest players as an attacking force anymore.
Yeah, in a sense, but I mean, we've been creating the chances. It's just we can't finish them. Against Luton, we could have had four or five quite easily. So it's not necessarily a case Nuno didn't know how to get the best out of them. It's just we're just not quite good enough in all areas of the pitch. We're just not quite good enough at finishing. We're just not quite good enough at tracking runners in midfield. We're just not quite good enough at marking at set pieces. We're just not quite good enough at taking set pieces. So it's just that sort of little level where we just dropped off what the standard is that is required in the Premier League. Last year, our determination and tenacity and resilience got us through. This year, this group of players do not have any resilience. I can't see a leader on the pitch anymore. There's nobody sort of shouting at them, organising them, saying people, you need to be here, you need to be there. It's just not quite there. The team spirit and the togetherness is, I think a lot of people have noticed that. And I think that maybe is what kept us up last season. We worked harder than everybody else. And I don't think we're doing that this season. I think other teams are working hard for us.
And you mentioned leadership there. I mean, obviously, Ryan Yates has been in and out of the team, and either he or Morgan Gibbs-White have been wearing the armband. Is it notable that when Forrest did okay towards the end of last season, that's when Joe Worrall came back in the team? Is that what we're lacking, that kind of motivational figure?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Ryan Yates is a leader by example. He the way he plays, not necessarily a shouter and a baller at people. But I mean, he felt like he had a few leaders out there. Serge Aurier, I think, is probably the biggest miss. He sort of under the radar was organizing them last year. He made a massive difference. That know-how, that Premier League experience was so valuable, and it's sort of gone unnoticed, I think, by a lot of people, that he left the club, and I don't think we replaced him. He was a real asset in that sense. And when Bolly used to play, even Felipe last year, just that toughness. We had that toughness last year.
And experience.
And I can't remember anybody, I haven't heard many people make this point either, but we let our most consistent midfielder, Mangala, go this season. We've been saying on the pod all season that he's probably been our best player, man of the match on numerous occasions. And he did provide that defensive shield as well. And so, we may live to regret that now, if it costs us our Premier League place.
Yeah. And again, we'll discuss some more about this at the weekend in our special podcast. But Maradona, just very briefly, your thoughts on this. You talk about that lack of resilience. You talk about that lack of leadership. Is this the kind of thing that Steve Cooper would have known how to fix?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe. But you need the characters in the team. Whatever abilities and qualities players like Dominguez and Murillo and Sangare have, I don't think they're leaders. I don't think they're necessarily tough guys who are going to sort of grind out a result for you. It's just not in them, I don't think. And so we're struggling in that aspect. So I was quite clear when Steve Cooper got sacked. I didn't think he should have been. I think we owed it to him to keep him going and give him the chance to turn it around, and it's not really improved matters. Removing him, as the stats showed last season, the teams that sacked their managers got relegated. We didn't. We stayed up.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Forest fixture over the 23-24 season.
And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Green King Sports app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks anytime there's a match on the TV, but this month there's also free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of six holidays. And you'll be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Welcome back to 1865, Nottingham Forest podcast, and the Friday Five on Friday the 22nd of March with me, Rich Ferraro, and the Maradona at the Midlands. And let's move on to the next news story, which is, again, PSR related, which is some stories circulating. We've heard from John Percy, we've heard from Martin Ziegler, saying that Forest may need to raise some more money in the summer to avoid a further breach. And that they may lead to the sale of a prize asset like a Morgan Gibbs-White, like a Murillo, like a Nico Dominguez. Maradona Midlands, I was a little bit surprised when I read this because I was just thinking, well, we sold Johnson in this accounting period, which was 47.5 million. The Mangala, we've already raised 10.5 and there's going to be another 20 odd coming in when that sale is finalised in the summer. So are things as bad as that?
Yeah, but you've got to remember, we went out and spent that Johnson money more or less straight away on Sangare, Dominguez, loan fee for Origi, loan fee for Nuno from Arsenal. We bought in a goal, bought in a goalkeeper from Benfica. So that money was more or less got that. Remember, we didn't really understand how PSR worked at the time. It was like some sort of magic where you're in loads of trouble, but you can sell your top player and then you can spend all that money again. And it didn't really make sense to me at the time. And the fact is, it doesn't really make sense. If we wanted to sort of move the club forward a little bit to avoid having this problem every season, you maybe would have held on to some of that money and not gone and splashed it all out in the same. At the same time, but so it doesn't surprise me at all. We're going to be living with the consequences of our spending spree for a three-year period.
I mean, I will just add in there that I mean, I'd be surprised if Murillo's still at the City Ground next season. Obviously, the next story that Jamie brought us was to say that Liverpool might be interested. We'd earlier heard that Atletico Madrid have their eyes on him. I mean, he's an exceptional player. And I think that actually you and I have already discussed about the possibility of him going to Atletico Madrid and how being coached by someone like Simeone might make him into a really complete defender. I would also add in there that, like many other people have speculated, he could be also a really positive defensive midfielder, particularly if someone like Simeone was coaching him. And I also think that maybe playing in Spain might suit him slightly better because, as we've discussed, he's not the best in the air. He doesn't have the height and he doesn't have the spring, so he doesn't get off the ground very high. But on the other hand, and Jamie raised this point on social media, actually you can see him being a really good fit at Liverpool as well, can't you?
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would maybe count against the move is the fact that every club is sort of watching their pennies now, counting the pennies and how much they can spend. Forest apparently want huge amount of money for him, so 50, 60, 70 million pounds. And I doubt there's going to be many clubs or any clubs out there who would be willing to spend that.
But Liverpool's business model is very, very strong because they sell, you know, they hold on to their homegrown players. But actually, in terms of, they're probably one of the few clubs who play the market just about right in terms of incomings and outgoings.
Yeah, that's right. But I just think, I don't know, would a club be willing to pay how much we want for him? That's the only thing that sort of makes me doubt that. He would be lined up for a really big money move. But yeah, he's an exceptional footballer. I'm not sure he's a great defender yet. And that's, I think it may have cost us at times this season. We may, as crazy as this may sound, I think we may have been better off just playing a couple of more boring, sturdy defenders in there, in Bollies and Nia Cartes. But as it happens, they've not been fit anyway. So it's a moot point. But it's, yeah, he's got the potential there. He's got the natural ability, which is the thing you need to look for. And you can coach the rest into him.
Yeah, and I mean, having said that, I don't think there's been a single centre-half at Forest, well, for as long as I can remember, that hasn't had a mistake in them. And, you know, this isn't just in the last 2 or 3 years. It's going back for as long as I can remember. So let's leave it at that. And moving on from there, still on the subject of Atletico Madrid, and again, going back to PSR, there was the story that Atletico Madrid apparently put in this very last-minute bid for Brennan Johnson. Yanis Rantzos was still looking after the negotiations, and he said, give us more money. But it sounds like it's all a... For all it was in the report, it sounds like it's a bit of a moot point anyway, because it seems as though Atleti's bid was very late. It was conditional upon them selling another player. And also, it sounded like, I don't know, it's a bit arguable as to whether player A was willing to go overseas at that point.
Yeah, I think it would have been very difficult to complete a move like that, an international move, in 24 hours in any case. So I think, I don't know.
Getting the old fax machine working.
Yeah, I don't know if Atleti were sort of trying to cash in on Forest's predicament, whether it was well known that they needed to sell before that June the 30th deadline, or whether it was just an opening bid and they were willing to sort of buy him later on in the summer. But mate, I think when Forest went back with their €60 million asking price, I think that probably priced them out of the market. I think they, as much as any club in Europe, have had to tighten their belts recently, so they've not been sort of spending big, so that would have been a really astronomical amount to spend on one player, I think, for them.
And that takes me back to the idea that actually Liverpool might well be the team who might be in pole position if they are interested in Murillo. One thing I will say, and it's probably worth pointing out, for all that Yanis Rantzos didn't really enhance his reputation while he was looking after things at Nottingham Forest as chief exec, is that he was well known for striking a good deal when selling a player. And so him asking for more money was probably partly a way of testing the water, but also saying, well, if we are going to sell, then we need to extract maximum value.
Yeah, I mean, that's his job. That's his job, by the way. So, that's what you try and do, and they had all summer to sell him, really. When you think of the PSR issue that puts an artificial deadline, and that's another sort of layer of complaint that Forest and other clubs have got with it now, that why doesn't the accounting period align with the transfer window, which is, you know, it's a fair point. It's completely illogical that it doesn't. But yeah, that's his job. He's got to get the most amount of money for Forest. Mm. We've got, you know, we these assets don't come along very often. And you've got to make the most of it when they're there.
And going back to the whole issue about PSR, when the whole story broke in the first place, the Forest were being charged and they accepted the breach. I was on Radio 5 Live, and I used the analogy of it being a bit like getting caught speeding. So all these folks in Wales or in urban areas in England as well, who get caught speeding in a 20-mile-an-hour zone, you might not like the rules, but you have to admit that they're there. And in this case, it's a bit like a speeding fine. It's a binary. You either did breach or you didn't, and therefore you have to take your medicine. Am I right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. To be fair, Forest and Oak have done a cracking job of getting it down to 4 points. And I think if just accept it now, and that'll give a vote of confidence to the players as well. Forest can put out a statement saying, we don't agree with this, point deduction. As we've outlined in our previous statement, we have several concerns with it, but we are confident we have the ability in our playing squad to play our way out of trouble, and we are confident we will be in the Premier League next season. That would give a boost to the whole squad and the whole team and take away that uncertainty. And I don't think it's any coincidence that our terrible run started when this was announced. Just having that hanging over the players, just that level of uncertainty, has played its part. I mean, nobody likes uncertainty in any walk of life. We've just got to outscore Luton for the next 9 games. I think that would be the best way forward.
And going back to stuff that's been said in our group chat recently, if we don't escape relegation, points deduction or not, then we don't deserve to be in this division. It's one of those things, look at the teams below us and around us, and we have to be better than those teams, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the weakest Premier Leagues, I think, in the bottom half, probably ever. I remember when we played Sheffield United, and it was clear they were the worst Premier League team I'd seen in a very long time. And Burnley, similarly, they're probably the worst defensive team in the Premier League for a very, very, very long time. And if we can't beat Luton with their sort of tiny budget, we've only got ourselves to blame. You know, poor signings, poor coaching, poor play from our players, poor finishing, poor defending. If you can't finish, I mean, at the moment, it looks like we're going to struggle to match last season's points target total. So you probably do deserve to go down then.
Mm. Mm, absolutely. Well, I want to say thank you very much to the Marathon the Midlands. I want to say thank you very much to Jamie Martin at the 1865 News Desk. Just so you're aware, Jamie has got some exciting interviews coming up on his YouTube channel to be released over the next couple of days. So he has had a chat with football finance expert Kieran Maguire talking about PSR and the related issues. And he has also had a chat with Forest's referee analyst, Mark Clattenburg. So if you look up Jamie on Twitter, he's at I'm Jamie Martin, and he will be posting those links as soon as they are available. So thank you to you, listener, for joining us. As I mentioned earlier, we do have a special show which we're recording at the weekend, which is a discussion focusing upon PSR and also focusing upon issues on the pitch as well, and whether Forest have got a hope of escaping relegation. We hope you stick with us. If you like what you hear, then you know what to do. You can find all of our links at 1865.football, and we will catch you at the weekend or very early next week. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.